Hi, Eagles fans. Welcome here to the NovaCare Complex. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Bo Wolf on a Wednesday here. And the Eagles getting ready, of course, for the San Francisco 49ers, a team, as I spoke to Chip Kelly yesterday, very much better than a 1-2 record.
Absolutely, no question about it. Dangerous weapons all over the place on offense and defense. Chip Kelly said today that the 49ers run more called running plays for their quarterback than anybody else in the league. Eagles defense will have to deal with that. And then he also said two players on the Niners defense, the best in the league at their position, in Patrick Willis and Justin Smith.
And what about Vernon Davis at tight end? We'll hear later in the week and get more of an idea of if he plays. But if you have that tight end on the field, this Eagles defense has a big time challenge.
No question about it. And the question is, does it come down to the safeties, the linebackers, or a nickel guy like Brandon Boykin? Who's going to cover Vernon Davis if he does play?
So, a lot to talk about between now and Sunday when the Eagles head out to San Francisco and get ready for the 49ers. Let's get you caught up on everything happening today. Out on the practice field, it's Chris McPherson and our news update presented by Sports Authority.
Thanks, guys. LeSean McCoy may not have had a breakout performance yet in 2014 with 175 rushing yards in the first three games, but he's quite content with his role in the offense because, quite simply, the team is winning.
Just got to make plays like we did yesterday or Sunday. Guys are making plays. About this league, you just got to keep going. I mean, everybody keeps talking about, oh, the run game's not doing well, this and that, but we're winning games. We're winning games. And if teams want to come in and try to stop the run, we'll, you know, if they want to get 34 points scored on them and Nick's playing at a high level and we're making plays, I mean, that's how y'all lose.
To aid McCoy on the ground, the offensive line will have to come together, and the offensive line is once again dealing with injuries as two players are slated to make their first career starts this Sunday in San Francisco, in Matt Tobin at left guard and David Mulk at center, and Todd Harriman is making a return to the right tackle spot.
Todd actually finished the game at right tackle for us, so it's just depth purposes, and you know, we'll see. The biggest question we have is how does Matt Tobin respond to a couple days in a row of practice, so we got today of training. Yesterday, our Tuesday deal is just, it's an hour. We're not doing a ton of running around. It's a light day for us. So the biggest question with Matt in terms of his ability and his availability on Sunday will be, how does he handle a Tuesday? How does he handle a Wednesday? How does he handle a Thursday? And then we'll go from there. But obviously, to get us some depth at the tackle spot, the next maneuver is Todd, but going back out to tackle and then bringing a guard in the game. So,
you know, we are getting guys that are loading the box up a little bit, but in general, we just got to make our point and punch angles, and, you know, just punch angles like we were doing early on, and then give Shady and Sproul some creases to hit.
The NFL may have deemed that Washington defensive end Chris Baker's hit on Nick Foles was legal in the fourth quarter of the win over Washington, but don't expect the Eagles to agree.
I'm still under the impression you can't blindside a player, whether it's a quarterback or not a quarterback, going back towards your own sideline, so I'll touch base with the league officials before we play again. So I that's news to me that's a legal hit. And I know the referee threw the flag pretty quickly and kicked him out of the game. So
the guy's clearly down when Nick gets hit. So I think it was kind of all that kind of mixed into it. That's why I was probably fired up. It was a cheap shot. As you can see, he looked at Nick first before he hit him. It was a cheap shot.
As Michael Kendricks, the middle linebacker, was sidelined during Wednesday's training session with a calf injury, Jason Kelsey with a sports hernia, the only other Eagles player to miss practice. That's going to do it for today's news roundup presented by Sports Authority. Let's send it back to the studio for more on Eagles 360.
Thank you, Chris. And of course, Dave, one of the biggest questions for the Eagles this week is, what will that offensive line look like on Sunday in San Francisco? And on the other side, our Cover 2 segment will break that down with Tim McManus and Jimmy Kemsky, along with Chris McPherson.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the crispiest lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in. You'll see the changes. You'll feel it. You'll love it.
In the locker room, we are all the same. Win or lose, we get what we need to come back for more. Gatorade Recover, 20 grams of pro caliber protein from the locker rooms of the pros, now in yours.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. You look out on the practice field, and what do you see? Well, you see a lot of names that you really didn't expect to be playing football for the Eagles in September. Dennis Kelly at right guard. How about Matt Tobin at the left guard position? What about David Mulk? Nobody even knew who David Mulk was until he made this roster after a good preseason. The offensive line certainly is an area to look at, and we do just that in our Cover 2 segment with Jimmy Kemsky from Philly.com, Tim McManus from PhillyMag.com, talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and that offensive line.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to another Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And we are still covering the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles, one of three teams remaining undefeated in the entire league. And joining me this week, I have two special guests, Tim McManus from Birds 24/7. You can also hear him on 97.5 The Fanatic. And Jimmy Kemsky, or I should say the artist formerly known as Jimmy Kemsky from Philly.com. And gentlemen, let's start off with Nick Foles and that amazing performance Sunday against Washington. Tim, was there anything that you learned about Nick, thought differently about Nick following that game, maybe as previously before?
Well, I think it was his best performance in an Eagles uniform, and I thought the way that he was able to get off the mat can go a long way, both in the city and, more importantly, probably inside the locker room. And you could tell, like David Mulk said, I want to carry this guy to the car if need be. I mean, you could tell that there was a lot of pride taken in what he was able to do. I think it demonstrated, obviously, some toughness that Chip Kelly has been talking about for a long time. And for a guy that I thought struggled some in the first two games to be able to bounce back, both in his performance and, of course, you know, getting off the turf after that brutal hit, showed a lot.
Now, Jimmy, Nick Foles wasn't sacked, but certainly took his fair share of punishment.
Yeah.
The offensive line being reworked once again. What's your take on the offensive line and being able to not only protect Nick Foles, but also possibly open up the run game for McCoy's
roles? It's amazing he wasn't sacked with the makeshift offensive line they were working with. And if you look at each offensive line position in that game after Jason Peters was ejected, you didn't have a single player playing the spot that you would have projected him at during the summer. So, you know, obviously with Lane Johnson being suspended, Jason Peters gets ejected, Evan Mathis out, Jason Kelce out, and then you have Harriman's is like really the only guy left on the offensive line that's in the game. He kicks out from right guard to right tackle. So completely different lineup from at every one of those five spots. It's just amazing that they didn't completely go in the tank. And it's going to be a challenge for them moving forward. Are they going to be able to run their same offense? Obviously, LeSean McCoy has averaged only 2.9 yards per carry so far this season. So the running game has to be more effective, and to be determined if it can be more effective with this makeshift offensive line. But certainly, you know, once those guys get healthy, it'll be a better offensive unit. But for now, obviously, they're going to struggle for a little while, I believe.
Tim, what do you think the offensive line is going to be this Sunday in San Francisco?
I think they have their hands full. Jason Kelce, I think, is one of the most valuable players, not just on the line or the offense, but the entire team. And his high level of intelligence when it comes to being able to identify what an opposing defense is doing and then getting the offensive line in the correct call is critical. Not to mention the way that he can get second level. I mean, it's astounding some of the things that he can do. And he's going to be on the shelf for anywhere, I would think, from 5 to 8 weeks. And David Mulk comes in, and that's a really tough position for him. And San Francisco maybe doesn't have everything going for them on the defensive side like they normally do, but they still have Justin Smith, and that's going to be, I think, a tough task for the interior linemen to be able to sustain losses like that. I mean, that's Evan Mathison, now Jason Kelce, and that's a big deal.
It's crazy what Kelce did on that one long screen to Macklin, where Macklin breaks into the clear, and Kelsey's basically running stride for stride with Maggie as the block in the back, of course, but still. But you see his speed on that play. It's incredible that an offensive lineman can move like he does.
Now, let's talk about the defensive side of the football, averaging 26 points allowed per game so far this season. They rank 26th in the league in yards allowed. Tim, is the defense good enough? I understand that they've been clutch in late game situations, but is this defense going to be good enough to carry this offense and help get them into the playoffs?
Well, they're going to have to improve, I think. And you're right that they have come up in big moments. And Billy Davis talked about that today, how that's part conditioning. It's a very well-conditioned team, and it's showing up late in games. And the defense has shown that they can get it done and close it out. That being said, I think that the Michael Kendricks injury in particular is crushing to this defense. Putting in, whether it's Casey Matthews or Emmanuel Acho or Marcus Smith, whoever they roll in, it's just tough to recreate the type of production that Kendricks brings to the table, especially when you consider that the pass rush hasn't been getting home. They need to find it from outside sources, and there was no better way to find it than through Michael Kendricks. If he's not playing, and especially if that's a little bit more of a long term, they have some issues.
Now, Jimmy, looking ahead this Sunday to San Francisco, you think that the Niners might not be as good as people thought they were going to be going into the season. They lost their last two games. They've only scored 3 points on offense in the second halves of games this season. What's your take on the Niners as we wrap this up?
Well, I heard from somebody just before we started this that they've been outscored 52-3 in the second half so far this season. So they haven't closed games out this year so far. And their defense really is not the same without two of really what I think are the elite defensive players in the NFL, in Aldon Smith, who, of course, is suspended. Just phenomenal pass rusher. Creates all kind of problems with him and Justin Smith on that one side. Justin Smith, of course, still a disruptive force for them. They do have still Patrick Willis, but then they don't have their other inside linebacker, Navarro Bowman, either, who, of course, suffered that really grotesque injury against the Seahawks during the playoffs last year. You take away Bowman, you take away Aldon Smith, it's really just not the same defense. So I don't know if they can really play their style of football on offense now as a result of that, where they really like to establish the run. They like to play physical offensive football. And I don't know that they can really rely on their defense to kind of shut down opposing offenses like they used to. And they're forced to open it up a little bit more and put the game in Colin Kaepernick's hands. And that may be kind of causing them some problems so far early in the season.
That's Jimmy Kemsky. He's Tim McManus. I'm Chris McPherson. And thank you for joining us in our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, good stuff there, guys. Thank you very much. Time now, Bo, to take a look around the NFC East. So Bo's going to leave me here, and we're going to take a break. And when we return, Bo Wolf will be leading the charge as we take a look around, all of a sudden, a very interesting NFC East, which kicks off this week on Thursday night, the Redskins and the Giants. We're coming right back on Eagles 360.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified, authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
The tournament is there. You're here. And before you take the team's star midfielder from here to there, along with his entourage, you have some things to do, like finding a place to stay, getting an oil change, mapping out the best route. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Roadside assistance? Not today, but always on call. So wherever your journey takes you, AAA helps you get there. So everyone's a winner. Start your journey at AAA.com.
you could win a pair of tickets to sit in the Amoroso's Baking Company suite for the Eagles versus Carolina game at Lincoln Financial Field on Monday, November 10th. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Roll into a suite to enter for your chance to win. Amoroso's, why Philly sandwiches are world famous. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro with you. Time now to take a look around the NFC East. An interesting schedule this week, of course, starting on Thursday night. Washington and New York then, and then the Cowboys playing the Saints on Sunday night. The state of the NFC East with the Eagles on top. Looking down, we go into our fan cave around the NFC East.
Welcome to this week's Bob's Discount Furniture presents Around the NFC East, and we're going to start with the Dallas Cowboys, who rallied from behind to defeat the St. Louis Rams. It looked like the Rams had them down for good. Dallas comes back with a second-half victory, much like the Eagles have had throughout the course of this season. Gentlemen, your take on what you saw from Dallas.
Well, I think their offense is about what we expected. Very, very talented, playmakers all over the place, very good offensive line. DeMarco Murray is leading the league in rushing, so as long as they stick with the running game, I think they've got a lot going on offense. On defense, we thought they were going to be terrible, and they've just been okay, which is really a step up for them. I think you've got Morris Claiborne leaving practice yesterday, just running out because he found out he was getting benched again for Orlando Scandrick. But I think the Cowboys have the talent, barring injuries, to sort of be in the race all year long.
Fran, I want to ask you about Anthony Hitchens, fourth-round rookie out of Iowa, who's contributed to defense, especially in the absence of Rolando McClain. What have you seen from him and what he's brought to this Dallas defense?
Yeah, Hitchens was a guy that I watched at Iowa last year, and I actually really liked. He was
made a point to say he was better than all the Michigan State guys.
No, it was all three Iowa guys were better than Michigan State's Max Bulla.
That's what it was.
You had James Morris and Christian Kirksey as well there at Iowa. But you had Anthony Hitchens is a guy who he's not a great athlete. He leaves something to be desired in that category, but he's a good tackler, just shows really good technique, is able to take on blockers in the run game, brings a lot of traits that you like from that linebacker spot. A guy who's going to fit pretty well in that defense.
And in a big game for them this week against the New Orleans Saints, who sort of need a win as well. So hopefully the Saints can steal one from Dallas.
So that'll be good to see. Let's turn our attention to the New York Football Giants, who got the victory by beating the Houston Texans. It was 30-17. It could have been even a bigger margin of victory than that, quite honestly. Some miscues. The tight end Larry Donald fumbled at the goal line. There was also a fumbled snap on a field goal attempt. But should Eagles fans be a little concerned that all of a sudden maybe Ben McAdoo's offense with Eli Manning there might be starting to click a little bit?
I'll let you take this one to start, Fran.
Well, I would say that obviously it's going to take time for that offense to kind of hit its rhythm. We saw what it can be last week against a Houston Texan team that obviously was worse in the NFL last year, is still kind of finding its way a little bit and finding its identity. They got off to a 2-0 start, but I don't think anyone thinks that they're going to be world beaters in the AFC South. So obviously, if you're a Giants fan, you're happy with what you saw last week, but you can't get your hopes up too much. Defensively, I think they're still kind of still finding their way a little bit as well. But Victor Cruz kind of got off the schneid after week two, a very, very tough week two letdown where he had four or five drops in the game. It'll be interesting to see how this offense continues to develop.
Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Carrying the running game there, really taking the heat off Eli Manning in the passing game, over 170 rushing yards and a touchdown. Against that makeshift offensive line, it seems like if they can get the running game going, it definitely can help their chances down the road.
The way I feel about the Giants, heading into a big Thursday night game against the Redskins, against Washington, I should say, is I always root against the Giants. I hate the Giants most of all. And yet, I think I'm going to have to root for the Giants on Thursday night. After watching Washington and my expectations for New York this season, I think the Giants are the worst team in the division, and I feel pretty confident about that. So I'm going to be rooting for them to beat Washington. That's sort of how I feel about the two teams together.
Let me follow that up with, do you think Washington is the biggest threat after seeing them Sunday to the Eagles' chances of repeating as division champions?
I think it's Washington or Dallas. I might still say Dallas, but Washington was impressive, and if Kirk Cousins plays like he played in the first half, they're going to be there all year long.
I would lean more towards Washington, but the injuries that they sustained, obviously they lose D'Angelo Hall for the season. They've had injuries all season long thus far. Barry Colfield has gone down. They've lost players at every level of the defense. On the offensive line, they've had injuries, and tight end Jordan Reed as well. They're kind of making do. Obviously Robert Griffin III, but Kirk Cousins has stepped in and played very well. Dallas, defensively, yeah, they've been better than what people expected, But they were pretty good in the beginning of last year, too, when they really just kind of went downhill after week four, week five. So let's see if they can keep things together and see if they can sustain success on the defensive side of the ball.
And that's going to do it for this week's Bob's Discount Furniture presents Around the NFC East. Stay tuned for more here on Eagles 360.
Thank you very much, fellas. The NFC East shaping up to be a very competitive group in this 2014 season. When we return to Eagles 360, time to sit down and talk to one of the new guys, rookie Trey Burton, not drafted out of Florida, making the most of his opportunities on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow. That's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles rookie tight end Trey Burton. The journey of Trey Burton right now here in Philadelphia, and we're excited to have you here for the first time. Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you,
too. Been following you for a long time, enjoyed watching you in college.
Thank you.
And now you're the big man in the NFL here. What is life like in the NFL?
You know, it's fun. I didn't really know what to expect. I don't like to go into things having expectations, but I'm really enjoying it, and it's a lot of fun playing here in Philadelphia.
They always say that as a rookie, it's like zoom, 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 zoom. Have you found that to be the case on a daily basis?
No doubt. Every veteran I've talked to said the rookie year is definitely the hardest because you go from, you know, the season, then you go to whatever bowl game you go to, and then you go to the combine, and you go to a pro day and workouts, and then you're here and throwing in the OTAs and the fire. So yeah. It's definitely been really fast.
Let's back up a little bit here to your college days at Florida. Mm-hmm. Let's see. A quarterback, a fullback, an H-back, a tight end, a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Anything I missed?
Nope.
So did you know every nuance of the Florida offensive playbook?
Yes.
And how long did it take to learn that?
It really didn't take too long. I really enjoyed it. That's something that I pride myself in, is knowing what everybody has to do. Coming in as a quarterback, you kind of have to know what everybody has to do. So I just continued to, you know, study hard and do the best I could.
And you knew week to week what you were going to play, or did it sometimes change in the course of the game? Hey, Trey, we need you over at tight end.
I knew I was going to play, but if something did happen like that, you know, I was an emergency guy that they would put back there.
Okay, so then you go from there to being an NFL draft hopeful. Mm-hmm. Draft weekend, your reaction?
A little disappointed, but I'm extremely excited to be here. You know, this is definitely one of my top two or three places that I wanted to go, and I'm really enjoying my time here.
Did every team look at you as a tight end?
I'm not sure. I think some teams had me as a wide receiver. Some teams had me as a tight end. I think some teams didn't really know, honestly.
Yeah. So now you're here. Great preseason. You make the roster. Reaction to making the roster?
Extremely excited. Yeah. My family have always been diehard Eagles fans for years. So just being able to experience it with them and be in the NFL, you know, is a dream come true.
Trey, what did you do the weekend of when they were making the cuts? Did you wait by the phone? Did you spend time with your wife and child? I mean, what kind of stuff do you do?
It was more spending time with my wife and my little girl. Mm-hmm. and my family. We were actually staying up in Bucks County up there with a bunch of family that I have up there. So it was more of a relaxed setting. I knew I was just going to put my best foot forward, and whatever happens, happened. And I had, you know, faith in the Lord that whatever was going to happen was for my best. And I was just excited to see what was going on.
You're a three-game veteran in the NFL. Difference between preseason games and regular season games?
the atmosphere is, you know, immediately first game, I remember we played in Jacksonville, riding up on the buses, and I think it was 9:30 in the morning, and the parking lots were packed, and everybody was just ready. It wasn't like that during preseason, but yeah, that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah, well, they were packed at 6:30 in the morning, so is the speed of the game a lot? I mean, SEC football is as good as it gets. Is the speed of the game noticeable?
Yeah, it's definitely noticeable. Coming and playing in this offense definitely raises the bar a little bit for me because I never did a no-huddle offense. So it's definitely new for me, but I'm really enjoying it.
How's your body changed since you got here? Have you gotten bigger? Have they asked you to gain weight?
I mean, around 15 pounds.
And how do you do that? Is that just carbo loading?
Yeah, that and sleeping and just making sure, you know, getting with the nutritionist and putting carbs here, eating before I go to sleep, protein, all that type of stuff.
Reaction to being on the field first time, opening kickoff, season opener?
I don't know. I was extremely excited. I was really happy. Like I said, I've always wanted to play in the NFL, and playing here is special to me. So it was just a special moment.
Okay, so that is the end of our trip down memory lane. Now we're going to talk about Trey and how you fit in here and your goals and aspirations for this year. You got 23 snaps last week against Washington, playing on special teams a lot, and I imagine also getting a ton of reps in practice at tight end.
Yeah, definitely.
And what is the offense? Why is this a good offense for you?
Just because it's different. It's a lot different offense compared to any other offense in the NFL, and I feel like I'm a different player. I feel like I can do a lot of different things and help this team.
And coaches, Justin and Ted, working with you, what kind of feedback have they been giving you, Trey?
I'm extremely thankful for those two. Yeah. I have a great group, you know, with Ertz and Selleck and Casey. I can't be more thankful, you know, for all the help they've given me off the field and on the field. And it's just a great group of guys and a great group of guys to learn from.
And the great thing about tight end here is that you're really not a tight end. Yeah. You know, you're everything. You're a wide receiver. You're an inline blocker. Mm-hmm. So that, I imagine, is something that you're pretty excited about, the opportunity potentially to move around the offense.
Yeah, definitely.
Trey, how difficult is it to go from the guy in college who they want to find a way to get the football to here where you have to do the dirty work in order to survive? You got to go down and cover kicks. You got to be an inline blocker. How challenging has that been for you?
It really hasn't been too challenging. I just enjoy playing football. And I've told Coach, I've told all my coaches in the past, whatever you want me to do, whatever I can do to help the team win, that's my main goal. So it really doesn't matter what it is, as long as I'm contributing and helping the team win.
Take us inside the locker room. Tell me about the camaraderie here and the sense of belief, the chemistry. Three wins, three come-from-behind wins, first team in NFL history to have double-digit deficits and come back and win the opening three games of the season. What is it like in the locker room?
I think you've seen our character, the true character of the team. We're fighters, and we have a great group of guys, and we have really good leaders, you know, Foles on the offense. And I mean, you see the game on Sunday, he's getting hit, you know, getting right back up. And, I mean, those hits hurt, you know, don't get me wrong. But just the character of the team and how we're fighters is really important.
How's your body feeling just in terms of the pace, the pressure of practice, the intensity and tempo of practice?
Still adjusting to it, but yeah. I feel fine, and I'm excited for this week.
Tell me about living in Philadelphia, Trey. Had you been in the city much a lot? I know you have family in Bucks County, but have you spent a lot of time in the city prior?
We stayed during OTAs. I could open my window and I would see City Hall right outside of my window. So we stayed right in the middle of downtown for OTAs. I think that was like 2 months or so. So I really enjoyed that. Didn't really get to go out too much and see too many things, but when I did get a chance, I went around the City Hall in the middle of like Walnut Street and Chestnut Street and all those places. But I love it. Never lived in a city like that. Never really been around a bunch of people coming from a small town back home in Florida, Venice, Florida. And I'm trying to enjoy it. Soak it all in.
Well, good. Trey Burton, we thank you so much for joining us, man. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. Trey Burton, Eagles tight end, special teamer, and who knows what else they'll ask him to do. We thank you for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
In the locker room, we are all the same. Win or lose, we get what we need to come back for more. Gatorade Recover, 20 grams of pro-caliber protein. In the locker rooms of the pros, now in yours.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win? You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
Welcome back to Eagles 360. Welcome back to Bo Wolf.
Well, out of breath.
Who do you like tomorrow night?
I think I like Washington.
Okay.
I just don't think the Giants have it this year.
Yeah. Well, I want Washington to lose. Like,
so do I. I think I'm rooting for New York because I think they're going to be a worse team in the long run. But Kirk Cousins right now is a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Yeah,
how about
he played
that?
Great on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now this Sunday it's the Eagles in San Francisco against the 49ers. Their coach, Jim Harbaugh, has had great success no matter where he's coached.
That's true. And, of course, he coached at Stanford where he coached against Chip Kelly. So this will be a rematch of sorts on Sunday as Kelly and Harbaugh go up against each other. We talked to Harbaugh earlier today in his conference call with the Philadelphia media.
He's a great guy to talk to or talk football to. Enjoy him as a person. He's got all the qualities I like in football coaches. Football guy, great competitor. He's got great ideas. He's got he's an innovator. He's an improver. And he's a great coach. Loves the game, and I appreciate those qualities.
Check out the archive of that conference call with Jim Harbaugh, as well as the one with Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Dave, along with the rest of the good stuff we always provide.
Bigger concern for you, Colin Kaepernick or the Niners defense?
Colin Kaepernick for me. The Niners defense has not been that good this year. Worst third down defense in the league. I think the Eagles offense has proved they can score on anybody. Colin Kaepernick is the guy I'm worried about.
And we got a lot to talk about between now and Sunday, and we'll do that right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Make sure you're with us every step of the way. Eagle 360 returns tomorrow at 5 o'clock, so please join us then. For Bo Wolf, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us today here on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.